Okay. Good to see a good crowd here tonight. I have visitors again, so we're glad you came our way. The lesson is going to be very simple. As Christians, we need to choose any method that we can for our Bible study. And some of us have a lot of time. We can sit there and delve into the scriptures and spend time in there and really study them hard, while others, we kind of have to remind ourselves that, okay, I need to do some Bible reading. And we should do more than just Bible reading. We should actually do some study. But some people think that, well, if I can get in a chapter, then I'm doing pretty good. Some people feel that way. But there are reasons why we should read and study the Bible. And depending on the way things are, sometimes it helps us to develop little lists. Make up lists as to reasons why. I mean, there's reasons why we should assemble with the saints. There's reasons why we should assemble on Wednesday nights to learn and to go to the Bible classes. There are reasons for the way that we're supposed to live. And so we have a lesson here of reasons why we should read and study the Bible. And it's going to be very simple, I should say. And I ran across this list. Actually, it hasn't been recently. It was quite a while back, but I've always kept it where I can access it every now and then, because it makes some very good points. And I think it's very important, because like I say, and sometimes this shows, a lot of people do not really study their Bibles as they should. And so this list, like I say, it was written by someone, but I don't have any problems with this list. And if you want to follow along, write them down, you can. But just remember, for our members, I'm going to be emailing you this list. And so we can do that. I always do that. So I think it is worthy to share. And if we'll just take a few minutes tonight, we will notice some things of reasons why we should study the Bible. And each of these on this list has a scriptural foundation. And we will make reference to several passages of scripture. The first reason, and the most important reason, the reason that many will discount immediately, is because God said so. That's what we're supposed to do. You know, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourselves approved to God, a workman who needeth not be ashamed, handling aright the word of God. God said, study the word. And we should do that. But a lot of people don't do it. And you just have to wonder why, where their heart is and where their mind is and why they don't study the Bible. I can't answer that question. All I can do is I have to answer for myself and why I study the Bible. But other people, well, it's really up to them if they're going to do that. But the most important reason why we should study our Bible is because God said so. Now look at some other reasons. The rest of the reasons, in no particular order of importance, I mean, they're all important. And they're all just as valid as the other point. To be approved unto God. That's why we should study. You know, Acts 10, when Peter told Cornelius, he that worships God and practices righteousness is going to be approved of God. And so we want to be approved of God. How is that going to happen unless we learn what God wants? And so that's the reason to study the Bible. We study the scriptures to know God and His Son. You know, John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then he said, and you can come to know me. You can know me. You can know my Father by just paying attention and going through us. And so that's how we can do it. To learn what pleases God. You know, sometimes we kind of have to go around and kind of tiptoe around sometimes until we figure out what makes someone happy. You know, like in the home, what makes the wife happy? You gotta figure out what that is. And what makes the husband happy? What makes the parents happy? What makes your boss happy on the job? You've gotta learn that too. And so what we really should be concentrating on, what pleases God? And we know God is pleased with some individuals because they have been faithful and they have fulfilled what he asked them to do. And so, yes, to learn how to please God, that's why we should study the scriptures. And another reason is because we need to become equipped to teach others. See, that's one thing about it. When Jesus gave the Great Commission to his disciples, you remember he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, go teach all nations, making disciples of everyone. And then he said a statement which so many people ignore, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Now, part of that all things whatsoever I've commanded you is to go make disciples. And a lot of people don't pay attention to that. They don't think in terms of that. As long as I get to church, I think I'm doing okay. It's kind of like the kids go to Bible class. They want to see that little gold star put up by their name. Oh, yeah, I was here. And for some people, it's just like, show up to church. Okay, God, give me my gold star, and I'll be on my way and out of your hair. But no, the reason we are to study is because we are commanded to share the gospel message with others. And if we don't share the gospel message with others, what use are we? What good are we? I mean, God's not going to be pleased with us if we don't try and help people get to heaven. So Paul told Timothy, the things you've heard and seen in me, commit thou to faithful men who will teach others also. And so it's a constant learning process that we're supposed to be going through. Yeah, we come here to worship God, but in the same actions, we are here to learn how to be pleasing to God, please God in all respects, and to do those things that God is pleased with, and we learn things that God's not happy with. And so we learn to avoid those things and keep those things out of our lives. And so we want to be able to teach others what God expects of them. One thing is to ensure our own salvation. You know, Paul told the Philippians there, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And we are to work out our own salvation. In other words, it's upon us individually. It's upon you. It's upon me to learn about salvation, how we're going to acquire it. And God tells us how we can do it through his word. He tells us everything we need to know is in the pages of his Bible. And so we need to work out our salvation. In other words, find out what God is pleased with and do those things. Find out what he's not happy about and avoid those things. I mean, very simple. But if we want to be saved, we're going to have to learn what God expects of us. And that can only come through studying the Bible. Sometimes to understand God's plan and his will for us, his will for mankind, we know it's very simple that he has a will that he has established for all mankind. He wants all men to be saved. He wants men to repent and to serve him. And God wants to be glorified. And he has a plan in place. And of course, this was basically planned from the beginning, before the foundation of the world. The plan was Jesus Christ was going to become the Savior of men. And so that is God's plan. But how do we explain that to somebody? I mean, that's why we need to study the scriptures, to be able to understand the plan and what Christ has to do in this plan, what God has to do with this plan, and then, more importantly, what's my part in all of this? Initially, my part is obedience to the commands, because God said so. God said this is what you need to do, and so obeying the gospel, become a Christian. Okay, what after that? Well, I've got to learn. I've got to grow in grace and knowledge. I've got to learn God's will and learn everything what God has to say. Because if you fail in one point, you've got a problem. You know, in 1 John, John says, if we fail in one point of the law, we're guilty of all. James said that also there in James chapter 2. I mean, you might say, okay, well, I don't murder, I don't do this, but if I do this, I'm guilty of the law. And so if you offend in one point, see, some people get to the point that they make a little list, maybe about 10 little items. Well, as long as I meet those, I'll be acceptable to God. But God gave us hundreds of things he wants us to do. And so if we don't study, there's some things which we're not going to learn that we're supposed to be doing that we haven't done yet. And so that should scare us. It should motivate us to study more. Because when we're not doing what God wants us to do, it's just as bad as doing something God doesn't want us to do. It's just that plain and simple. So we need to understand everything about his plan for mankind. And yes, to grow spiritually. That's why we study the scriptures. You know, 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And so, yes, for us to grow spiritually. And spirituality is something that we really need to work on from time to time. And this comes through the knowledge of the Son of God, knowledge of his will, what he wants from us. And as we do this, we are supposed to grow. Ephesians 4:16, we are to grow into all aspects into him. And it's not just the members of the church where each member does their part. Individually, we have to grow ourselves into our relationship with Jesus. And it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen automatically, and it doesn't happen just because you walk in the church building. It's just not going to happen like that. You're going to have to study and learn from the scriptures what God expects of you. And that way you can be more spiritually minded. We're encouraged in the scriptures to be more spiritually minded, to set our mind on things above, set our affections on things above where Christ is. Colossians 3 verses 1 and 2. And so, yes, we need to grow spiritually. That means learn things. That means changing our ways if necessary. That means where we change the manner of life. We were supposed to do that when we obeyed the gospel and put off the old man and put on the new. And maybe we did that, but we kind of got stagnant on that. Now we need to get busy and renew that new man. To be able to stand unashamed before God on Judgment Day. We will stand before God on Judgment Day. That day is coming. We don't know when it is. Nobody knows when that is. But Jesus said it was going to happen. God said it was going to happen. The Bible tells us it's going to happen. So you know what? We need to be ready for it. We don't know when it's going to be there. So if we are unprepared, there's reason for shame. Because we are standing before God and, God, I didn't do what you told me to do. I mean, there's going to be shame in a statement like that. But God, I tried my best. I mean, that there's a difference there. And so we want to stand before God and say, I studied, I learned what you wanted me to do, and I did my best. And anything other than that, I just have to rely upon your grace. But see, some people don't even do that. They don't study God's word. They just go along. Well, they were baptized 30, 40 years ago. Well, that's good enough to get me into heaven. And I don't really have to go to church. I don't have to do those things the Bible says. I don't even have to study my Bible. I think I'm good enough. And you know, a lot of people feel that way. But when we stand before God and see God in his glory, are you going to be prepared enough so that you won't be ashamed to stand before him? You know, Hebrews 4:13 says we're going to stand before him naked and bare. I mean, just the thought of that gives me shudders. Just thinking about that. Here I am exposed and everyone else is looking at me. And so that kind of gives me shudders. But by then, we won't have human bodies. We'll have spiritual bodies. To have peace in our lives. You know, this is another reason we study the scriptures, so that we know that if we have peace with God, we're going to have peace with ourselves. You can't have peace with yourself if you can't have peace with others. Yeah, sometimes we have to learn how to have peace in order to have peace with ourselves and our lives. And God promises to give us the peace that passes all understanding there in Philippians 4:7. And we cast our anxiety upon Him and offer prayers to Him. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will protect our hearts and our minds in Christ. And so we can have peace. And I'm working on a lesson about peace. And there's 5 avenues of peace in the scriptures. And we need to be in each of those avenues. We need to be at peace in order for us to recognize and realize the peace between us and God. Sometimes to sharpen our sword. Sometimes this is why we study. You know, in Amos, I think it's chapter 8, verse 2, as iron sharpens iron, so a brother who discusses these things. I mean, when we study together, we sharpen ourselves. And yeah, we need to do that. We sharpen our sword. You know, the word of God is living and active, is sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, even soldiers, when they get ready to go into battle, they spend the night beforehand sharpening their sword and making sure they're ready to inflict the damage they need to inflict in order to become victorious in the battle. And we need to figure out how to do the same thing. Now, that doesn't mean, okay, we're going to get our sword and sharpen it and go stab somebody. That means we need to be ready with the word to be able to counter false teaching, to be able to counter when someone makes an excuse and say, but wait a minute, this is what the Bible says. Know our Bibles well enough to say, okay, here's what the Bible says in this passage and that passage. And when you can navigate people through the Bible and show that you really care about them, hopefully they will pay attention. And you just might gain a brother out of that. You might gain a sister in Christ just by preparing yourself to give an answer. And Peter tells us we need to be ready to give an answer of the hope that's in us. We study to become better equipped to combat Satan and his servants. You know, they're out there. You know, Ephesians 6:10-18, the whole passage dealing with the armor of God. And yes, Satan has many wiles, Satan has many devices. He uses many tools to attack us and try and keep us out of heaven. And we have to be ready for that, and so we're supposed to put on that armor of God. And we put it all on, and we prepare ourselves to battle against the forces of evil. When do we do that? We have to do it all the time. And really, about the only place we don't need to put our armor on is when we come into the assembly of the saints. We don't need our armor there. Sadly, some people, they put on the armor because they don't want the word of God getting into their hearts. They shod their feet because they don't want their toes stepped on. And they put this shield so they feel insulated from whatever the preacher has to say. You know, some people like to behave that way. But we should be ready to go into battle because we have a formidable foe. And we have to realize Satan is working 24/7, 365 to keep me out of heaven. He is working on me. And we have to realize that. He is working on me. He is trying to attack me from every angle. I got an email the other day from him. He says, nobody ever listens to your stuff. Why do you do it? I mean, and I just recognize Satan was saying, sending that. Satan wants to discourage me. So I have to resolve, I'm not going to let that happen. And Satan gets in our way. He wants to tempt us to, well, we have a choice. We can go to the ball game. We can go to church. Let's go to the ball game. Satan does things like that. Even though we're the ones making the choice, Satan has put it there in front of us. So yes, we need to be better equipped to combat Satan and his servants. You know, in 2 Corinthians, he talks about the servants of Satan. They disguise themselves as angels of light. And so, yeah, sometimes they come in by stealth, and the unsuspecting are caught away by their deceitful ways. We do this to please God with our devotion. We're supposed to be devoted to God, and He is supposed to be number one in our lives. You know, we're supposed to put Him first in all things. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. We're to be here to please God in all respects. And that means we need to be able to please God as we go through our daily lives, as we come to services and sit down and worship Him. We want to please God with our devotion. And we just need to learn that this devotion carries even from this building, it should go with us wherever we go. Whether it's to our homes or whether it's to our workplaces, whether it's to school or wherever, our relationship and our devotion to God needs to be going with us. We need to study because there are false teachers out there. There are people teaching false doctrines, and they come in by stealth because they don't wear the suits like the government agencies with all the alphabets on them, ATF, FBI, whatever. They don't have those saying, okay, false teacher warning. They don't give us that. They come in, they smiling at you, telling you smooth words, oh yeah, and guess what? They teach false doctrine. How are we going to know what false doctrine is if we don't know the Word of God? See, very simple point. So we need to be able to refute false doctrine. That's what Titus said about the elders. The eldership, the leadership, they have to be able to refute false doctrine. But when you look at it, every child of God needs to do that. You might be sitting there in your workplace and someone say, well, just say the sinner's prayer and you'll be saved. You know what? There's your opportunity right there. That's not what the Bible says. I mean, yeah, they may look at you funny. What do you mean that's not what the Bible says? You can't find the sinner's prayer in the Bible. And then that gives you the opportunity. Well, let's sit down and study it. Who knows? You might get somebody to pay attention and study with you. Another reason we study is to stand on our own beliefs and not on those that have been passed on to us. Some of us grew up in the church. Some of us had parents who were very strong in the faith. And a lot of times as we're growing up, we just, okay, daddy said this, mama said that. Okay, it must be right. And we just go with that. But see, that's not the standard. We talked about the standard of authority this morning, and parents are not the standard. The Word of God is the standard that we have to. And even though parents may have good intentions, they might get into something that God's not pleased with. And they're trying to have good intentions, and they just pass these things on to us. And we have to understand that. You know, we all stand before God. We all basically have to answer to God for everything we do. And if I'm trying to make an argument based on what Daddy said in his studies and his teaching, I'm just nothing more than a parrot. I'm just repeating what I've heard. And honestly, this has happened to me before. Someone accused me of being a parrot. And after a little reflection, that's right. I was just repeating the same old things I'd heard all along because I trusted the people who were doing the teaching. So you know what I did? I got busy. I studied that subject right and left, up and down, over and over. And then you know what? I finally had my own faith. Now luckily, it kind of echoed what my parents had taught me and what the preachers that I'd listened to had taught me. And so they were teaching the truth. So I was very happy about that. But it was now my faith. It wasn't my preacher's faith. It wasn't somebody else's faith. It was my faith. And so, yes, to enable to stand on our own beliefs and not just repeat what we heard the preacher say. We have to believe these things. Another reason is keep ourselves from sin. I mean, that should have been obvious this whole lesson. This is the reason, to keep ourselves from sin. You know, Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word I've implanted in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And so, to keep ourselves from sin, that is why we need to study the Bible. First of all, to know what sin is, to know what the right thing to do is. Because we know what James 4:17 says, he that knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. So we've got to learn what the right thing is. And the Bible is the only place we're going to get that information. And so that's why we need to study. We're told to examine ourselves continually and to see if we are in the faith, to see that Christ is in us. And what that means, examine ourselves continually against the perfect standard. Jesus Christ is the perfect standard. And so we're to test and examine ourselves to make sure we're living up to what God expects of us. And the only way we're going to know that is by studying God's Word and knowing what God's Word wants us to do. And another thing is to keep our hearts pure. The psalmist prayed for a pure heart. You know, in all the actions that he did, he just wanted to let God, I want to have a pure heart, Lord. I want you to cleanse me, get me right with you, and keep me that way. And that's the sentiment that we need to be making for ourselves. God, I want to do right. I want to be pure in my actions. I don't want to have defiled conscience. I don't want to question whether what I'm doing is right or wrong. I don't want to do that. I want to make sure everything I'm doing is right in your sight. And that's how we can keep a pure heart, by meditating on God's word. And then, of course, 2 Peter 1, to diligently increase our faith, our virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. The Christian virtues we read there in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. Because the scripture says, they who stop doing this, they've forgotten the purification from their sins. But those who practice these things diligently and keep adding them to our faith, ye shall never stumble, ye shall never fall. And that's why we need to study our Bibles, to make sure we don't fall. To be perfect and complete. This was Paul's prayer to the Colossians. You know, back in verse 9, he says, my prayer is that you be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Yeah, why do we need the knowledge of God's will? Because that's what we're going to be judged on. That's why we need that knowledge. To be filled with God's knowledge, that means we have to learn God's word. And unfortunately, we don't have the Spirit just to lay all this stuff on us anymore. Those spiritual gifts stopped back in the first century. So that means we've got to get down and study ourselves. What does God want? And if we do those things, when we learn these things and do those things, it's going to make us complete, mature Christians and the type of people God wants us to be. It gives us strength, that we may be strengthened with His will, strengthened with His knowledge. The strength that Christ supplies, that's what he told the Colossians there. And we gain strength when we have more confidence that what I understand the Bible says, and as long as I'm applying those things in my everyday life, I know God is pleased with me. And the more I do, the more I learn and apply to myself, I just have that much more confidence that God is pleased with me. And that gives me the hope that I will go to heaven when I leave this earth, as long as I remain faithful. I mean, just very simple. Another thing we can do is add to our joy and contentment. You know, Paul told the Philippians, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, intent on one purpose, and considering one another. And Philippians 2, verses 1 and 2. And so, even John, he says, you make my joy complete by being faithful. That's what he wrote there in, I think, 3 John. He said that. And so, for us individually, we joy comes from knowing that we're satisfying and pleasing to God. That's where true joy comes from. And then, of course, being content with what I have. I may have but little, but what I have, I offer to God. You know, a lot of people have said, several famous people throughout history have said, well, I don't have much, but what I have, I've given to God. And so when we can be satisfied that we are doing God's will the way He wants done, it increases our joy and our satisfaction that, yes, heaven is waiting for me. Some people have a false hope that, well, just because they were baptized 47 years ago, heaven's waiting on me. No, that's not the reason. The reason heaven is waiting for us is because we are learning and we are growing and applying ourselves. And we can never grow too much. That's the beauty about the scriptures. No matter how much you learn, there's always more you can learn about it. And so there should be joy in being able to learn these things. And we study. The reason we study is to help us get to heaven. That's where we want to go. And that's why we should study. And study more. Even if we think, well, I know everything in the Bible. No. There's reasons to study. You learn things all the time. And you learn to look at things differently all the time. And sometimes you look at something, you've never really noticed it before. But it's got a whole new message for you. And so we want to get to heaven. And study will help us get there. And we want to study because we don't ever want to forget. What happens as human beings? Yeah, we forget things, right? It seems like the older we get, it's easier to forget certain things. We forget where we put the car keys. We forget where we left our teeth. We forget where we've done this or that. And yeah, we get forgetful sometimes. And some people can't help it. I mean, there's a mental chemical imbalance. I mean, there's people who suffer through dementia and Alzheimer's. They've forgotten. So before that happens, we've got to make sure our mind is so clear on serving God. And that's what He wants us to do. We need to be mindful of these things and pay attention to what we are doing. We should study because Christ made the sacrifice for us. Hebrews 9:26. He made that sacrifice on our behalf. So shouldn't we appreciate the why? Why did Christ come to this earth? Why did He die on the cross? Why did He ascend up into heaven? There was a reason for all of that. And you're not going to know any of that unless you study the Word. You know, there's even more reasons. You can probably just come up with reason after reason why we should study the Bible, and all the reasons would be just as valid as any others. There's more reasons. You know, Psalm 119, the whole chapter, 176 verses, reasons to study the Bible. I mean, and just look at each verse and see if there's not a reason listed for studying the Bible. So take this list, add to it, if you will, and continue in that, and share it with others as you can. So by doing so, you should see the value of reading and studying the Bible. So, the question is, are you living the way the Bible reveals what God requires of you? How do you know unless you have studied? So that's what we encourage you to do. Those who haven't been studying like they should, it's time to get busy. Because your time is running out. All of us, our time is running out. Some because of age, some because we don't know when Christ is coming back. So we need to learn as much as we can about God, and that's only going to happen when we stick our face in the book and study. That's going to happen. And don't rely upon helps. Don't rely upon books, you know, books like the Bible for Dummies or Bible 101, Things You Should Know, written by men. No. The best study tool is the Bible. And read the Bible. And then work with each other as Christians. We have the ability. If I don't understand the passage, I call up brother and say, "Hey, brother, what's your take on this passage?" And he might give me some ideas. I call somebody else, "What's your take on the passage?" They might give me some other ideas and some other things to think about. That's how we grow, people. That is how we are supposed to grow in Christ. And our Bible study is going to help us do that. So that's our lesson for this evening. I mean, like I say, simple lesson, and we'll have this list out to you by this evening. So you have a, consider those things. We always offer an invitation. You know, we don't know who's having something weighing on their mind. We don't know about that. We know most people in here have obeyed the gospel, so we don't have to worry too much about getting people to obey the gospel, but we never know if someone might have something on their mind that's weighing heavy on their heart. They just need our prayers. I mean, we're glad to pray for you. We'd be glad to do that because we're supposed to. The scripture teaches us we're supposed to pray for each other. So if there's anything we can help you with, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.